Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you to episode 206 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Now, you might hear some noise in the background, and that would be the waves, the crashing waves, as I am in Bermuda. I love Bermuda. I'm here every year with Just for Laughs. This is my 10th time hosting the Just for Laughs Bermuda Comedy Festival. People are fantastic. The weather's good. It's not great. It's not tropical hot, but it's nice. It's warmer than the bomb cyclone I encountered last week in New York, so I'm thankful for that. Bermuda's a beautiful island. I want to thank them for having me, and thanks Just for Laughs for sending me down again. It's a beautiful thing. So let's get right into it. Donald Trump, as you now know, is a very stable genius. Donald Trump let us know after, I don't know how many of his close associates, workers, and even his family said he was dumb, an idiot, a moron, on and on. And listen, there's a lot I don't like about Donald Trump, but you gotta admire his self-esteem, because when everyone around you says you're an idiot and you come back with, no, I'm not an idiot. This was his tweet, just part, my two greatest assets have been mental stability and being like really smart. Yeah, he's like really smart. It's a very stable genius, you may have heard. But think about that. That is amazing, okay? People go to therapy for years to try and build their self-esteem. People who have accomplished amazing feats, whether it be in academia, winning Nobel Prizes, or being a great athlete, or writing a great song, or whatever. And you say you're a genius, they're like, no, I'm good. But there's humility involved, but not here. Everyone around you, you're an idiot. I'm like really smart. And he might have pulled it off, except he went to the national championship game where Alabama beat Georgia, great football game, and he didn't know the words to the national anthem. Now, I'm thinking if you're like really smart, you would know the words to the national anthem, particularly when you attacked football players for not standing for the national anthem and you said that they were disrespectful to the nation and to the troops and to, you know, to God and whoever else you want them to be disrespectful to. But they may have known the words to the song, or perhaps you should know the words to the song because, you know, you're like really smart. And that's what really smart people do. They know shit. When you ask them shit, they know it. That's how we know they're like really smart. So maybe he's not like really smart, but what he is smarter than his followers, because they will fall for anything. So as you may or may not have heard, there won't be a wall. I'm sorry to disappoint you. There won't be a wall. Kellyanne Conway, who's just also brilliant. Maybe that's why Trump thinks he's smart, because he talks to Kellyanne Conway every day. Kellyanne Conway came out and said that Donald Trump discovered, that's in quotes, discovered that a physical wall across the entire U.S. border with Mexico is not needed. No, we can do it with better technology and fencing, because the terrain on some parts of the border are not conducive to building. Okay, first of all, we know he didn't use the word conducive in a sentence. So right there, you know it's a lie. But the beauty of it is, this is just one more promise, stupid promise, bullshit promise, whatever, that Trump just backs off, just drops, and his followers will fall into place. Now, some of his followers are mad about this. They're mad that he's not going to build the wall that was never going to be built in the first place. But most of them, they'll just fall into place on this and they'll be like, it's okay. It's part of his deal. He's trying to work on immigration and DACA and so forth with the Democrats, which trying to make any deal with the Democrats has angered the Republicans. Blah. I'm not going to go into it. You don't need to hear it from me. You know it. You know it's all bullshit. You know it's all bullshit. But the wall thing is funny, because we knew. Listen, you and I, we're not like really smart, but we're smart, and we knew the wall was bullshit. We knew the wall was ridiculous. The only way he's going to build a wall is if one of his friend's companies build walls, in which case he'd have one friend's company build a wall, then another friend's company destroy the wall, because that's what they do. But he discovered there's, like, no need for a, like, wall. What else have we discovered? We're on the topic of Trump's promises, because his followers are hilarious. They'll go for anything. And con men say that one of the secrets of being a good con man is knowing that your mark, your sucker, your victim wants to be conned. Trump knew from the beginning that his base, his angry middle class, which is code for some kind of angry white people, which I'll get to that later, but I may not be qualified to say that. I haven't walked in their shoes. But again, I'll get to that later. So the carrier plant, you remember the carrier plant that he saved in Indiana? This plant was going to go to Mexico and all these workers were going to lose their jobs, and Trump saved them. Trump and Pence came up with a plan to give Carrier about $7 million in tax breaks to not close the plant. And they were going to lose about 12 or 1,300 jobs. Well, 215 more people are going to get laid off, or got laid off, this past week. So last summer, they laid off 340 people. This week, they laid off 215 more. So now, instead of saving 1,300 jobs, it's like, well, we saved 800 jobs, and they conned you. They conned you because Carrier still got the $7 million in tax breaks, and the followers will still follow. Robert James, who took over as the union's president, said that he appreciated that Trump helped save about 800 jobs. But lamented at those being lost. I think there, without a doubt, there's a lot more he could do, so we wouldn't be losing these jobs at the rate we are. Well, no, there isn't. Not only isn't there a lot more he could do, he doesn't give a shit. He doesn't give a shit, you idiots. The jobs he saved were at the top of Carrier, the people who are going to profit on the stock, and the people who, the $7 million in tax breaks. That's who he cares about. I'm sorry. I shouldn't call you idiots. You might be, like, very smart, for all I know. I'm sorry for laughing, but it's amazing, because it just keeps happening and it works. And you know something? They used to call Bill Clinton Teflon. They used to call Bill Clinton Slick Willie. Are you kidding? Look at everything Trump promises him he doesn't do, and they make the excuse for him. That's the beauty of the con, when they make the excuse for you. It's brilliant. And again, so see, to those who say, I hate Donald Trump, here I am. I'm admiring his bulletproof self-esteem, which is in no way based in reality, and his ability to pull off the con. You know, the tax cut with the long con. And this is beautiful. You have the people you are screwing over protecting you and speaking up for you. That's brilliant. Let's move on to some more people who I'm going to guess were Trump supporters. So a basketball team in the small town of Kings Mills, Ohio, which is a suburb of Cincinnati, population 1,470, and all 1,470 residents are white. Well, they have a youth basketball team in the local league, and not the school, just a youth team in the league. The name of the team was the Wet Dream Team. Players wore jerseys, some saying on the backs coon, others saying Negro, K-N-E-E-G-R-O-W, just straight up racist shit. And the pictures were taken at their fourth game, and that's when they were kicked out of the league, at their fourth game. Not at their first game, not at the second game, not at the third game, but at the fourth game. Why? Because at the fourth game, pictures were taken and posted on Facebook, so people found out. about this. Okay, now one of the fathers or one of the players is on the school board in suburban Cincinnati, and he resigned because, you know, he said that he could have done more, he could have said more, and whatever degree I can help with the healing, I will. I'm resigning because it's the right thing to do. And he said, of course, his son is beautiful and he's kind and he's loving. He's never been in trouble and he's never hurt anybody and he's good to everybody. You know, he's a beautiful kid. Yeah, amongst other white racist kids, he's a beautiful kid and he's never hurt one of the white racist kids that he plays basketball with. It is utterly ridiculous. I wish I could say it was unbelievable, but no. I'm not. Now, the father says they are guilty by association. See, they're not racist. They just happen to be surrounded by racists. He just plays on a team with all racists. And when he came home with a jersey that said Wet Dream Team on the front and Coon on the back, his father never said, maybe this isn't good. Because, you know, he's a beautiful kid. He's a beautiful kid. So the father, it never occurred to dad that this would be a bad thing. Because, you know, he's a sweet kid, and he's never harmed anybody. I don't know if that team should have been disbanded or sent to play like a black basketball team, just sent to play. And, you know, we'll see how the Negroes and the Coons do in that atmosphere. Once again, it's just cowardly, isolated racism, and I don't know. I don't know. There's no cure for it. There's no penalty for it. There's no, you know, this is real. This goes on. I know you've heard about this, that H&M stores, you know, they had a black kid with a hoodie that said he's the coolest monkey in the jungle. Now, there's so much wrong with this. First of all, I think that their advertising director, whoever designs their shirts, may have grown up in Kings Mill, Ohio. Maybe he did. In which case, he's probably a sweet guy, a nice guy, someone who never hurt anybody. You know, just was around some bad influences or something. So the kid wearing this, obviously H&M got some backlash. Apparently, they didn't know that you're not supposed to call black kids monkeys. And they were informed. And so they're going to, you know, take down the ad and not sell the shirts anymore. It's very interesting also to me that it happens to be a hoodie. Because, you know, black kids in hoodies are like they're supposed to be shot. But you're not supposed to shoot monkeys. I don't even know the layers of racism in some shit like this. I don't even know how you deal with, right? Because if you're a black kid in a hoodie, then you're a threat. You're not the cool monkey. You're the dangerous monkey, and the cops have to kill you. But H&M says you're cool. I don't even know. I got to talk to some of these nice and sweet racist people to help me understand. See, that's my problem. I don't understand. It's not them. It's me. I have to try harder. Now, the kid's mother said she saw no problem with it. And Twitter kind of destroyed her, too, and said, listen, lady, this ain't about your kid and this ain't about the money. This is about what it says on the sweatshirt and the message being sent. So, you know, God bless her. I don't even know what to say about that. But it's real. It's real. 2017, we have an all-white basketball team calling the Coons and the Negroes, and we have a H&M stores saying that a young black kid is the coolest monkey in the jungle. Cliven Bundy and his clan, they received a mistrial. You remember Cliven Bundy? They were persecuted because they couldn't feed their cattle on government land. And then they all got their guns and pointed them at the ATF people. And then they took over a building and blah, 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 blah. Just, you know, a nice little protest. Nothing. Just good Americans protesting. Not like those black players kneeling down at the national anthem. No, those horrible people. These are good American protesters, and all they did was point guns at government agents. And the judge dismissed the case, saying that it was a mistrial because federal prosecutors willfully withheld evidence that lawyers for the Bundys should have had access to. The prosecutors said that they turned over a record amount of evidence, and the reason they withheld some of the witnesses' names was for the protection of the witnesses. They felt the witnesses would be intimidated. I don't know why, just because these guys all carry guns and wave them around and point them at people. Why would that be intimidating to the witnesses? But anyway, the judge said you were wrong, and I mean, maybe this is just a question of law, and maybe the law actually is being observed here. Maybe the law actually says that you have to give up all the witnesses' names. The judge said, regardless of the danger to the witnesses, you didn't disclose the evidence. But I just wonder, again, now, had it been Black Lives Matter or maybe a Latino protest group or any other group other than white males had got a bunch of friends and a bunch of rifles and pointed them at government agents and then took over a building on a federal land and said, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, would they have lived to make it to trial? And second of all, would the case have been dismissed? I'm going to go with no. I'm reaching, and I'm obviously biased in this because I'm living in the real world and I'm not like really smart, but I'm gonna go with no. I'm gonna say that this might be a thing. I do not recommend any minorities attempting this. Okay, don't try this at home. I know you're thinking, well, wow, if it's okay to take over federal, no, don't take over a federal building and wait to not get killed. Okay, just saying, probably not going to work out in your favor. So chill out with that. On the topic of Black Lives Matter, and they do, by the way, if you're wondering, yeah, they actually do. And as I've said, I'm a big supporter of Black Lives Matter because, you know, I have one. How'd the police do in 2017? Now, I'm going to start this off by saying, and I've said this before, I'm not anti-cop. The police, their job floats between difficult and impossible. Okay, it's a tough gig by any standard. So that being said, the numbers in 2017, police shot and killed 987 people. That's two dozen more than they shot and killed in 2016. They killed 19 unarmed black males. That was up from 16 in 2016 and down from 36 in 2015. And I'm just giving some of the statistics. There were a total of 68 unarmed people killed in 2017, 51 in 2016, and 330 white males with knives or guns were shot versus 160 black males. Now, I know the alt-right's going to say, see, they killed more white people. Well, black males make up 22% of the people shot, but only 6% of the population. 18% of the people shot were Hispanic or Latino. So it's still going on. They're looking at it a little closer now. They've been tracking numbers since Michael Brown was killed in St. Louis. They've been tracking the numbers, and these are the numbers, and these are the trends. And police are trying to preserve life. LAPD has a Preservation of Life Medal for an officer who does the best in his job, his or her job, preserving life. And by the way, these statistics were interestingly, they talked about men. So I'm guessing that they didn't factor in women. I don't know how many women were killed. I know of the total people, that was men and women. But these other statistics seem to be only about men, so I can't give you any numbers on the women who may have been shot and or killed by the police. But it's a tough job. I think they're doing better. I think they still got a long way to go. And this is still not official. This is not overseen by any one agency. This is research done by media and newspapers. And, you know, that they research these things and these are the numbers. So they're killing fewer unarmed people. They're killing fewer unarmed black people. But you can't tell that to the families of those 19 who were killed. And that's males. We don't know the females. It also happens. It's sad. It's sad. 987 people seems like a lot. Okay? That seems like a lot of people. Maybe that's a statement for the police. Maybe it's a statement for our society. Either way, that number is really high. Finally, I'm trying to keep it fair and balanced. Tucker Carlson, you know Tucker Carlson, the bow tie guy. Tucker Carlson was on, he has his own show on Fox News, and he had a guest on, and they just wanted to talk about how difficult it is to be white. Tucker Carlson has a beef with The Root. The Root is a black website, news, culture, etc. I look at The Root a lot. It's interesting, blah, blah, blah. But he says, no, The Root just goes after white people, and him and his guest, Chadwick Moore, a former liberal who now identifies as a conservative, after his he outed Milo Yiannopoulos, and that wasn't well received. This whole like alt-right hate world is a trip, but they're all, it's a very small world. But anyway, him and his guest, Tucker Carlson and Chadwick Moore, said that, you know, if black people spend a day in a white person's shoes, then they'd realize that racism isn't as big a deal as they make it out to be. Okay, I'm going to say that again. They said that if a black person spent a day in a white man's shoes, they'd realize racism and homophobia weren't that big a deal. See, because if you're white, it's not that big a deal. See, that's the whole point of it being racism, that you're treated differently because you're not white. See, Tucker, now you're not like really smart. You're like really fucking dumb to even say this. So, yeah, if you're black and you spent a day in a white man's shoes, you might think racism wasn't that big a deal. And if you're rich, I mean, if you're poor and you spent a day in a rich man's shoes, you might not think that prices are that big a deal. If you were short and you spend a day in a tall man's shoes, you might think the shelves weren't so high. And if you're an intelligent person and you spent a day in a fucking idiot's shoes, you might think Tucker Carlson isn't so dumb. Thank you for listening. This is Alonzo Bowden. Who's paying attention? You are. This has been episode 206. I love you. I'm out of town. I'm in Bermuda this weekend. Next weekend, the 19th and 20th, I'll be back in L.A. at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood. Tuesday the 23rd, I'm doing a great show with my friend Omra Menkes, and that's going to be at the Comedy Store, also in Hollywood. So come on out, laugh. You're like really smart, and I like really appreciate you listening to my podcast. Keep laughing.